I just want to mention that table in the corner there. And that where she's waving her hands right there, Christina. John Graham is an innocent man. And the U.S. government is not innocent. And between the years 1973 and 1976, many people are aware that the CIA overthrew the democratically elected government of Chile and
that's right. Yes.
And on September 11th, 1973, which led to the massacres of tens of thousands of people by the fascist regime there, supported by the U.S. And during those same years, 1973 to 1976, in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, if you adjusted for the population, the very small population of South Dakota, a similar number of people were killed. There were 400, if I recall the number correctly, 400 unsolved murders carried out by the FBI, local law enforcement, and a group, oddly enough, known as the Goons, the Guardians of the Oglala Nation, which was an aptly named group of people that were being paid off by the FBI to do the FBI's work for them. And the work that the FBI was trying to do was to stop the American Indian movement from trying to hold on to what little sovereignty is left for native land in the United States and stop the uranium mines from expanding and destroying the lives and the land of the people of the area. And during the course of the 400 murders carried out, one of the leaders of the American Indian movement, an eloquent, wonderful woman from Canada who was killed by the FBI, was Anna Mae Aquash. After the FBI killed her, found her, and she was found in a ditch, and they cut off her hands and sent them to Washington to see if it was really her. And that represents the amount of respect that the U.S. government has for Indians. And now John Graham is being accused of this murder that was carried out by the FBI. And he's here in Vancouver, and the United States government, the state of South Dakota, is trying to extradite him, just like they did with Leonard Peltier when he made it to Canada. And it would be another sad chapter in Canadian history if, after the extradition of Leonard Peltier, John Graham was also extradited, because we know now, of course, as we should have known then, that Leonard Peltier was innocent and should never have been extradited to the United States. And, you know, as the literature there points out, an Indian getting a fair trial in South Dakota is a joke. It's really no exaggeration to say that that's about as realistic as a black man getting a fair trial in apartheid South Africa, because, of course, apartheid was invented in the United States, and it still exists. It's called the reservation system. So check out that table. Go to johngrahamdefense.org. With enough popular pressure, his extradition can be prevented. Without popular pressure, he will be extradited.
Money.
Yeah, money. Yeah. Lawyers, guns, and money. Well, I'd like to dedicate this song to the two FBI agents killed on the Pine Ridge Reservation in 1976. Those were the only murders that were investigated.
When the rich man on the TV said this world's mine, when he asked which side you're on, told you to step in line, when he gave his reasons for his war of conquest, when he talked about your wallet, said it was in your interest, did you shrug your shoulders? Do as you were told, hang a flag in your window. Buy the goods that you were sold, or did you shut off his craven image? Call the man a liar. Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? When they were rounding up your neighbors, you know, the ones with darker skin, clerks and teachers, engineers with names like Sammy and Mazin. When they were breaking down the doors, taking them away, holding them on secret charges, hidden from the light of day, what did you tell their children? When you had a chance to meet, could you look them in the eye? Or did you walk past them on the street? Could you say that you stood up when their lives were on the wire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Bombs were falling and the children lost their lives, lying broken on the pavement as the ambulance arrived. When the soldiers opened fire with their heavy guns, could you hear the demonstrators hit the ground? See how their red blood runs. What were you doing in those fateful times? Did you raise your voice against those awful crimes? Or were you hiding in your bedroom when the situation was so dire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? And the Reich was at your door when the fascist state was here and they brought home the war. When the Gestapo was in the city and they had really taken power, when there was nothing left to do here in the final hour, did you find a place to run to where you might live a few more years when the slaughter was around you? Did you cover up your ears, or did you set your sights, take your aim and fire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire? Did you strike a blow against the empire?
Should all be arrested for cheering. Waiting for this mic stand to fall down again, but so far so good. Well, I always have to do this song when I'm in Canada because the U.S. lost some of its best citizens to Canada during the 60s and early 70s. And this is a song by Phil Oakes.
Well, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and keeping old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got got to my old draft board, but this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18. I got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat. My feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool. I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plant. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. When the bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits. I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs. I got the weakness woes. I can't touch my toes. I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, I'd probably start to sneeze. Sarge, I'm only 18. I got a ruptured spleen. I'd always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat. My feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool. I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plan. Well, I hate you and lie. I hope he dies. But one thing you gotta see is that someone's gotta go over there, and that someone isn't me. So I wish you well, Sarge. Give him hell. Yeah, kill me 1,000 or so. If you ever get a war without blood and gore, I'll be the first to go. Sarge, I'm only 18. I got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat. My feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Oh, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool. I'm going to school and I'm working in a defense plan.
Well, the U.S., of course, has a long history of invading most other countries in the world and killing millions of people, and using its poorest and most disenfranchised citizens to do that. Often, actually, using people who aren't even citizens, and then those that survive after slaughtering people, they come back and. And pretty much they emotionally tend to have two basic options. The many people I've talked to, they always confirmed that they basically felt like when they came back, they had two basic options. They could either join the anti-war movement or become drug addicts, or both. And the current crop of economic draftees is no different. And there's some great email lists you can read to get that picture. I lost my job and joined the army to get an education. I most surely did. Wanted to have some kind of steady job, lead a decent life, support me and my wife and kid. First I was based in Texas, then it was off to Germany, then they sent us to Iraq. So many burned up buildings, so many burned up bodies, twisted railroad tracks. They sent us to Fallujah. We were told to keep the peace amid such hunger and despair. I was only 21, didn't have a clue what I was doing there. Now they say the war is over, and I'm back at home, here in the land of the free. And you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. Patrolling through Fallujah, driving on the rubble, shattered pavement and shattered glass. They sent us on a search for weapons. We looked in every basement, never found a single barrel of gas. When we saw the cities looted, as we watched the oil pipelines, it all began to seem so clear. We were fighting for Exxon, dying for Chevron, that's what we were doing here. They told us we'd be welcomed as troops of liberation. Once again they lied.
We got shot at every day. Everywhere we went, a bunch of my buddies died. A rocket launcher hit my tank, started up a fire, blew my legs right off of me. Now you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. I went back to Michigan. They put some plastic on my stumps and sent me on my way. Now I roll on down the city streets, looking at the people as they turn their eyes away. Down at the burn, they were talking about the government, how it's all a ruse. And I get a little madder every time I see the president smirking on the evening news. And I think of how they duped me and so many more good people, and I think of the price we paid. The rich keep getting richer, and the bastards already scheming about the next nation they want us to invade. Yeah, I keep on thinking about the situation. I think of Oklahoma City. And you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. Children played in the playground, swinging on swings, didn't hear the sound of the single plane that flew overhead. The third shift workers were just going to bed. There was a flash of a light and a rumbling noise, gone in an instant. Parents, girls, and boys. 10,000 mothers were boiling rice. 1,000 prisoners of war were rolling their dice, hoping they'd survive this terrible storm. When each young man in his uniform vanished in the air in the blink of an eye, one moment they lived, in the next they all died. Hiroshima. We're sitting on eggs, beaks in their wings, resting their legs. 10,000 farmers were looking at their fields, planning the harvest, guessing at yields, dreaming of life after the war. Next second they weren't. living no more. Hiroshima. Hiroshima. Ten 10,000 lovers made love to each other, each one of them thinking there might not be another. Living so long with death everywhere, much more than one person alone can bear. But there wasn't time for a final kiss. Who could have known it would end like this? Hiroshima. Hiroshima. We're living their lives, grandparents, children, fathers and wives. Now they're just shadows on the street. In such a quick burst of incredible heat. Now listen to them talk about doing it again. From whence came the souls of these terrible men? Hiroshima. Hiroshima. Hiroshima.
People don't usually sing along on that. That was really nice. Well, there's many to paint World War II as a battle of good versus evil is kind of like I don't know what it's like, but it's ridiculous.
Ford built tanks for the Nazis, and the Nazis used those tanks to gun down lots of soldiers in the U.S. Army ranks. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist, and a nasty one was he. He built tanks for anyone for the proper fee. Henry Ford spoke to his lackeys, and he said, "Isn't this great? We'll attack our enemies, and we'll retaliate." Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist and a cunning liar too. A brown shirt with a swastika draped in red, white, and blue. Henry Ford spoke to his workers and he said, "You dare not strike. You must be patriotic and take on my Third Reich." Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist and he had not a care about the dying soldiers that made him a billionaire. Ford built tanks for the Nazis, and he built many more to gun down lots of peasants in Peru and Salvador. Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist. I heard that when he died, the last words to leave his lips was "A bite mach frei." Yes, the dollar was his icon on whichever shore, and Henry's only motto was "Make money and make war." Yes, Henry Ford was a fascist. That's all I have to say. I will spit on Henry's rotting grave until my dying day. Henry Ford was a fascist, that's all I have to say. I will spit on Henry's rotting grave until my dying day.
Thank you. Well, this is a song that somebody mentioned earlier. It's about a terrorist organization that has been operating with virtual impunity for years. assaulting corporate and government leaders from Bangkok to New Hampshire to Poland to Sweden to California. Have they operated in Montreal for sure, Montreal? See the man in his limousine, in his tie and well-pressed shirt, hoping that he's not been seen on the lookout for dessert. He knows that he is guilty and a visit might be paid by the vegan vigilantes of the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the baking brigade delivers. That's the chorus. If you sell your city's soul to the landlord's greedy pack, you, my friend, have earned yourself a tasty pastry snack. You can call yourself a liberal and hope your crimes will fade, but your sellout soul will be exposed by the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. If you cut down the last of the forests, spew poison in the air, don't you be surprised to find that cheesecake in your hair. Yes, if you are a corporate criminal, you surely made the grade to receive a fresh baked goodie from the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. So beware all you scoundrels of industry, we know of your disgrace. So smile for the camera with the cream pie in your face. You can hope that we won't find you out as you're hiding in the shade, but someday soon you'll meet your doom, the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
Oh, that too? Jeez, just dictator, how about?
Mi amor, as you pause beside the lilacs, I watch you take them in. You start the morning with a prayer. That's the way your days begin. And if I could be a petal, would you touch before you go? Then with this branch I'll scratch the dirt. That's the seed I'll sow. Mi amor, as you dive beneath the water, I watch it cascade down your chest. You rise upon the wave as if it's molded to your breast. And if I could be a stream that feeds this lake, which might rise to kiss your face, then I will wind my way between these rocks, so I settle in this place.
amor. As you glide beside the clouds, I feel the wind beneath your wings. With such ease you take this gift that your friend La Luna brings. And I hope that in my lungs there might be the strength one day that you might gather other sparrows and chase the crows away. Mi amor, the sound that rises from your belly is one I've heard before. It reaches deep behind these walls, and I want to live some more. And if I might write a verse, would you choose to sing one afternoon? Then I will gladly while away the hours searching for the tune.
So sing this with me. This song has a 5-word chorus, and it's about what we need to do to the corporate elite here in Vancouver, from Vancouver to Halifax, Seattle to Miami.
We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise that they'd have one big multinational with their corporate flags unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world. Then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle town, wherever they may go. We will shut them down, we'll shut them down, we'll shut them down.
You got it already, but those of you who didn't know the chorus, you know it now. If we're going to make the revolution, it's going to require a certain level of enthusiasm and a certain level of organization, and I like to think that this can be symbolized by the ability of a room full of people to sing 5 words at the same time at a certain level of volume. Let's say I think we can do it.
CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's got to be. Well, they can have their CNN, because we've got our IMC, and we'll tell truth quite clearly, though they don't want to hear it, and they'll try to stop our broadcasts, because the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down, we'll shut them down, we will shut them down.
That was very good. The only thing is that the symbolic revolution is after the fifth chorus, you know, so we have to actually increase the level of enthusiasm and the volume until the fifth chorus, at which point we symbolically overthrow the capitalist machine.
They'd have a world full of strip malls, plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ecocide. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay, and we're not gonna give in. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down.
What are we gonna do?
We will shut them down.
Yes. What sustain you have.
They will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas. We'll shut them down, we'll shut them down, we will shut them down. And we will build a new world without the corporate elite. And we will see the day of their international defeat. We'll have self-determination and equality for all. For what choice do we really have but to rise up and see them fall? We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. will shut them down.
Well, thank you. I'm going to do one more song, and I'd just like to thank Jim Edmondson so much for setting this up. And this is just great. What a wonderful thing. Hope to come back to Vancouver maybe next summer. And
anytime.
Okay.
Try filling in one more.
What's that?
Try Bellingham once more.
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, Bellingham too. We'll try that too. Try getting across the border again next time, too. Let's see. But, this is the other point at which I would normally mention I have CDs for sale, but once again, I don't. But if you want to come to Blaine, Washington with me in the morning, I can give you lots of CDs. But otherwise, you can go to davidrovics.com to get those things, or to download MP3s. Whoops. And I'm going to do... song I wrote after Carlo Giuliani was killed at the G8 protests in Italy, which always seems like a strange segue to mention that there's going to be G8 protests in Savannah, Georgia in June. It's going to be a really good time to be in the eastern U.S. this summer. We got the World Bank protests for the 60th anniversary of the World Bank in late April in D.C., and then the G8 meetings in Savannah, Georgia in early June, and then the Democratic National Convention in late July. The Republican National Convention in New York in late August. The DNC's in Boston. So it's going to be a great time for my hometown in Boston. And so I would like to invite you all to come to the East Coast and bring your gas masks, and we're going to have fun. When the world has gone crazy and it's all becoming clear, when they're gunning down our comrades and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance. As they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades, we shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. Woo! They will try to break our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity, and a kiss behind the barricades. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Wear gloves. Making it worse. So March 20th, right here in Vancouver, eh? All around the world. I'm going to be in Crawford, Texas. In Bush's hometown. Texas-wide gathering. Last February 15th, I had the pleasure of singing this song in New York City for 500,000 people. It sounds good with a chorus of 500,000. You can say that it's about the savages. You can say you have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all your civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history, and progress is a future you will bring. You can send your armies to these mountains. You can say we'll prosper beneath your king. But we'll always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose, because our future is not yours to choose. You can say you've got to stop the communists. You can say that our ideals can't succeed. You can say that competition is the only way, and a global system based on greed. You can call yourself a Democrat. You can call yourself whatever you will. You can keep on stamping out the fires you start, so you might stay on top of the hill. But there will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose, because our future is not yours to choose. You can say that all of us are terrorists, madmen bent on destroying all that's free. You can say that we are building weapons as your bombers fly from sea to bloody sea. You can say you're with us or against us, and to die quietly is what we now must do. You can maintain your innocence. You can claim that you are many as you represent the few. There will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose, because our future is not yours to choose. In Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Centimedia at the beginning of the day. But here I am in New York City, hiding out
Central Park, getting kidnapped by the police today sometime before dark. But I wish I was in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimedia at the beginning of the day. The judge looked down upon me frowning. He said, kid, get on your way. Just don't start out your mornings with espresso and a J. I said, I wish I was in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimedia at the beginning of the day. Bus over to Hastings Street to have a bowl with my coffee. Now I'm up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimedia at the beginning of the day.